Have you ever sat at the hold short line, run up the engine, watched everything come back green, and then taken the runway without once asking yourself the only question that actually matters in the next 60 seconds? Here it is. If that engine quits at 300 feet, where am I going? I'm Pattern, and this is Traffic Pattern on Radio Hangar. And this week, with airplanes streaming in and out of the busiest airport on the planet up at Oshkosh, I want to talk about the emergency that kills more pilots than almost anything else in the takeoff and climb phase. Not the engine failure itself, the decision that comes right after it. We call it the impossible turn, the turn back. The moment the engine goes quiet on the upwind leg and every instinct in your body screams turn around and go back to the runway you just left. Let's walk through this together, because I want you thinking about it before you ever line up, real quick, before we get into it. Shout out to our friends at aviationsoul.com. They make challenge coins for every step of the journey. Got your first solo? There's a coin for that. Private pilot, instrument commercial, they've got you covered. It's a nice way to mark the milestones that matter, the ones you worked hard for. aviationsoul.com. Go take a look, now. The scenario. You firewall the throttle, you rotate. The airplane climbs out clean, you're maybe 200-300 feet above the ground, still over the runway or just past the departure end. And the engine does something it has never done to you before. It coughs, it surges, or worst of all, it just stops. That fan up front that has always kept turning goes still, and the only sound left is the wind and your own heartbeat. Here is what happens to the untrained pilot in that instant. The runway is right there behind you, you can see it. It is long, and it is paved, and it is home. And so you crank the airplane around to go get it. And that is the decision that kills people. Let me tell you why, and let me tell you what to do instead. Because this is not about luck, this is about a plan you make on the ground, before you ever push the throttle up. Here's something I wish someone had told me plainly when I was training. When the engine quits on climb out, the ground does not care how badly you want that runway. Physics is going to do exactly what physics does, and you either planned for it or you didn't. Start with the airplane. On climb out you're slow, you rotate it at maybe 60 knots, you're climbing at your best rate, call it 70-something in a typical trainer. You are nose high, you are draggy, and you're close to the ground. When the power disappears, that nose is going to want to keep pointing at the sky for a second or two while the airspeed bleeds off toward a stall. So the very first thing, the thing that has to be pure reflex, is this. Lower the nose. Push. Trade that altitude you fought for and put it right back into airspeed, because airspeed is the only thing keeping your wing flying. Pitch for your best glide speed and hold it like your life depends on it, because it does. The airman certification standards spell this out for the power off emergency. The examiner is looking for you to establish and maintain the recommended best glide airspeed within plus or minus 10 knots. Not because it's a number on a card, because best glide is the speed that buys you the most distance and the most time to think, and time is the thing you have the least of. Get the nose down, get to best glide. That is step one, and it never changes. Now the turn back. This is the heart of it. The reason we call it the impossible turn is that turning back to the runway looks easy and is brutally hard. Let me break down what that turn actually costs you. To get back to the runway, you did not just make a 180-degree turn. Think about it. You departed straight ahead. The runway is now behind you and off to one side. To land back on it going the other direction, you have to turn something like 270 degrees total. Turn away, come back around, and then line up. That is most of a full circle. Flown low, slow, and with a dead engine. And here's the part that gets people: when you bank the airplane to make that turn, you are no longer using all of your wings lift to hold you up. Some of it is now pulling you sideways through the turn, so to keep from descending even faster, the tendency is to pull back. And the moment you pull back in a steep bank at low airspeed, you are walking right up to an accelerated stall. An accelerated stall in a bank close to the ground, with the nose coming up, that is a spin entry, and there is no altitude down there to recover from a spin. None. That is the accident. It is not the engine failure. It is the stall spin during the turn back to the runway. The airplane hits the ground in a nose low banked attitude off the airport, and it is almost always fatal. The engine failure was survivable. The turn was not. So let's talk about the number, because you deserve a number, not just a scary story. There is an altitude below which the turn back is simply not on the table, and above which it might be if you have practiced it, if you know your airplane, and if conditions are right. For a lot of light trainers, that number lives somewhere around 500 feet above the ground, and plenty of good instructors will tell you 800 or 1,000 before they'd even consider it. It depends on your airplane, your weight, your wind, your density altitude, and how sharp your turn is. But here is the honest truth. That altitude is not a fixed thing you can trust in the heat of the moment. So I want you to do something much simpler and much more powerful. Before every single takeoff, you brief it. Out loud, say it to yourself, say it to your passenger, say it to the empty right seat. Something like this. Engine failure on the runway, throttle idle, brakes, stop straight ahead. Engine failure after liftoff with runway remaining, land on the runway. Engine failure below my briefed altitude, I'm landing straight ahead, within about 30 degrees left or right, and I am flying it all the way to the ground. Above my briefed altitude, I will consider the turn back. You pick that altitude on the ground, for that runway, that day, in that airplane, and then you commit to it. Because the whole game here is that you have already made the decision before your heart rate spikes to 160 and your hands start shaking. You're not deciding at 300 feet, you decided in the run-up. At 300 feet, you're just executing. Let me say the hard part plainly, because I promised you honesty on this show. Landing straight ahead is going to mean putting the airplane into terrain you did not choose. A field, a road, trees, whatever is off the departure end. That is frightening. It will bend metal. But a controlled arrival, wings level, under control, at the slowest, safe speed into rough terrain, is a survivable event. People walk away from that all the time. Nobody walks away from a spin. Fly the airplane as far into the crash as you can. That is an old, grim piece of wisdom, and it is exactly right. Wings level, nose on the horizon, slow it down in the flare. Let the airplane and the seatbelt and the structure do their job of absorbing energy. Your job is to arrive under control. Now let me give you the flow, the memory items, so you have something to hang all of this on. A lot of folks use the letters A, B, C, D, E for the engine failure in cruise, and it works on climb out too once you've got the nose down. Airspeed, best glide, first thing, always. B, best field, or in our case, the spot straight ahead you already briefed. C, checklist, the quick flow, fuel selector on the fullest tank, mixture rich, fuel pump on, carb heat on, magnetos, check both. That flow takes 3 seconds and it catches the failures that are actually fixable, like a fuel tank that ran dry or carb ice choking the engine. D, declare, if you have the altitude and a hand free, get on the radio, 7700 on the transponder. Mayday on the frequency you're already talking to, and E, exits and equipment. Fuel off, master off before touchdown if time allows, doors cracked, everybody's harness tight. But notice the order, airspeed comes before everything. You do not put your head down in the cockpit, chasing a checklist while the airspeed bleeds off and the wing quits flying. Fly first, troubleshoot second, always in that order. Now, let's bring this up to Oshkosh, because this is a special week and the departure environment up there makes every word of this matter more, not less. When you fly out of Whitman Regional during AirVenture, you are departing an airport running more operations than any other on Earth. You may be launching off a colored dot, holding a specific spot on the runway, following very precise instructions from controllers who are working absolute magic out there. You might be heavy, you might be at a higher density altitude on a hot Wisconsin afternoon than you're used to, and there is traffic everywhere. And here's the thing. In that environment, the temptation to turn back is even worse, because that beautiful long runway is right there, and it is the one familiar thing in a very busy sky. Do not let the crowd, the radios, and the pressure of the moment talk you out of your brief. If anything, brief it harder before you take the runway at a place like that. Know your straight-ahead option, know your altitude, and understand that off the departure end at an unfamiliar field. Your straight-ahead choices might not be pretty, which is all the more reason to have looked at the chart and the satellite view before you ever taxied out. That is real cross-country planning, by the way. Not just the route and the fuel. Knowing what's off the end of the runway at the field you're leaving. And for the student pilots up there this week, just walking the flight line, watching airplane after airplane climb out over the fence, here's your homework. Watch those departures. Watch how the good pilots rotate, hold an attitude, climb out stable and disciplined, and ask yourself the question for every one of them, if that engine quit right now, where would that pilot go? Start building the habit now on the ground as a spectator. It will be there for you when you need it in the airplane. Let me leave you with the one thing I want to stick. The impossible turn is not really about whether the turn is possible in the right airplane, with enough altitude and enough practice. Sometimes it is. It is about the fact that you cannot make that judgment for the first time at 300 feet with a dead engine and adrenaline flooding your system. So you make it on the ground. every takeoff out loud. Lower the nose, fly the airplane, go where you already decided you were going, and live to file the paperwork. Go practice the power off glide with your instructor. Go find your airplane's real best glide number and the real feel of it. And next time you're at the hold short line, before you ever key the mic to take the runway, say the brief out loud. Make it a habit you never break. My thanks to the folks who write the airman certification standards and the FAA safety materials that lay this out for every one of us. You can find more from the show over at radiohangar.com. This is Pattern. Brief your departure. Fly the airplane first, and I'll see you back in the pattern.